Scholastic Audio presents Infinity Ring, Book 3, The Trap Door, by Lisa McMahon. Read by Dion Graham. Chapter 1. Amber Waves of Corn? "For the love of Madison, mincemeat, Sarah said, looking down at her fashionable yet extremely wimpy slipper shoes, which until recently had been red. "My toes are freezing." She glanced over her shoulder to make sure Rick and Dak were there with her too, and hopefully nobody else, after their adventures in Viking land, when a too enormous to be genetically possible hound named Viki had hitched a ride, one could never be too sure. All of their shoes were covered in mud. It was raining. No, it was pouring, and windy too. And they were standing in a weather-beaten cornfield, more like a husk field actually. The corn had obviously been picked months ago, and only the tall, graying stalks remained. In one direction, Sarah could see a small town and a sizable river with the tips of sailing masts bobbing along it, and in another direction, a few enormous plantation houses and some smaller ones, with lots of farmland in between. Sarah put the Infinity Ring back into the satchel on her belt. They'd just used it to warp away from Washington, D.C. in 1814, where they'd fixed a break at the White House, of all places, and hung out with the First Lady, Dolly Madison, of all people, and her slaves. That part had been a little weird. "Where's the square?" she asked. She knew they had arrived somewhere in Maryland in the year 1850, but to learn why they were there, she needed to check the tablet computer given to them by the historians. "And if you say it's in your pants one more time, Dak, I'm gonna get mad, just warning you." Dak was Sarah's best friend, but she had her limits. Hanging around with two smelly boys was getting less and less enjoyable as the days passed, that was for sure. If only they'd had time for a bath in the White House. Now that would have been a story to bring home. Home. She closed her eyes as a remnant, like an almost memory of something that should have been, washed over her. She wasn't sure if it was just a coincidence that warping through time seemed to make her remnants stronger, or if these conditions met the theory of non-locality, but it certainly seemed like they were related. And since Rick's remnants were getting worse too, even though he wouldn't talk about them, Sarah was pretty sure the two experiences had to be connected somehow. Maybe the remnants had to get worse before they could get better. "The square? It's in my pants," Dak said, which set him off laughing and slapping his thigh. Rick, who was a few years older, rolled his eyes. "Knock it off, and be quiet. We don't know if anybody's around yet." He sighed. "I'm getting a little tired of babysitting you two. Jeez."
"Did you say cheese?"
Dak roared with laughter again. He turned to Sarah.
"Did he just say cheese?"
It had been a long, exhausting few days. Sarah was used to Dak's obnoxious jokes, but Rick's comment about babysitting was just unfair, especially after she and Rick had bonded in medieval France when Dak had been missing in action. She hadn't been the immature one. She hadn't gotten captured by Vikings or lost the square or eaten the King of France's cheese or anything like that. She turned her head away, folded her arms, and hugged herself against the cold and rain as the wind whipped her sopping dress around her padded, puffy legs. She looked like a rejected yard sale rag doll tossed from a car window into a mud puddle. Rick scowled. "Sorry," he mumbled. "I'm tired. We all are. Come on, let's get out of this blasted hurricane and figure out what we're here to do." Sarah pushed past him, but not very hard since he'd said he was sorry, and then intentionally bumped into Dak extra hard for being so annoying. She tried to stomp down the row, but one of her slippers sucked right off her foot and disappeared into the mud.
"Chimney nutcracker," she muttered.
She shook her head at the spot where the useless slipper had been and kept walking, one foot bare, cold mud squelching between her toes. She'd have taken her white elbow-length gloves off, too, if they weren't the only things keeping her from losing her fingers to frostbite. When they reached the end of the rows of corn, Sarah saw an old shed and made a beeline for it. Head down, and wishing she'd at least left the White House with a parasol, she barreled forward with one goal in mind, finding shelter inside the shed. Except for the howling wind, it was quiet. There seemed to be no one around at all, just a shed with a door banging open and a lantern swinging wildly on a post outside. Sarah stumbled inside, her feet numb. Dak and Rick followed her. As Sarah's eyes adjusted, she saw Dak was already squinting at the square.
"Well?" she prompted. "What's the break?"
"Not sure yet. We had to solve another puzzle," Dak said. "Pictures this time."
He handed the square to Rick. As Rick studied the images, Sarah peered around his shoulder to get a look. A plus bowl plus fish minus F plus sun plus list minus L fin minus F D plus anger. Sarah looked at the first image and began talking it through to herself.
A bowl, fish, something about sunshine food?
Her teeth chattered. Rick flashed her a look of mild annoyance.
"Do you have to do that right next to my ear? My auto-translator is going crazy trying to decipher your tooth language."
Sarah clamped her teeth together and stepped back.
"Sorry."
The older boy's features softened.
"It's all right."
He held the square so that both Sarah and Dak could see.
"Come on, we're all on the same team. Time travelers together."
"Some of us are better team players than others,"
Dak grumbled. Sarah sighed and looked away, tapping her foot. She didn't want to hear any more snide comments from either of the boys. She glanced around the shed, her eyes straining in the dim light. She wondered if there was any place to sit down without getting completely filthy. It was a small shed. Even in the dark, she could make out the whole space, which is why she was surprised to suddenly see movement. Sarah froze for a second, and then took a step back so she could ease the door open, letting in a bit more light.
"Quiet," she whispered. "Did you guys see that?"
She pointed to the back corner of the little shed, where the floor was moving. It was a trap door, and it was opening.
"We're not alone,"